ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमः. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 20, Text 1, chapter entitled The Dynasty of Puru, a new chapter. Purvamsham pravakshami, Purorvamsham pravakshami, Yatra jatosi Bharata. यत्र जातोऽसि भारत यत्र राजर्षयो वंशा यत्र राजर्षयो वंशा ब्रह्मवंशाश्च जगिरे ब्रह्मवंशाश्च जगिरे. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Shri A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami said, O Maharaj Parikshit, descendant of Maharaj Bharat, I shall now describe the dynasty of Puru in which you were born, in which many saintly kings appeared, and from which many dynasties of Brahmanas began. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are many historical instances by which we can understand that from Kshatriyas many Brahmanas have been born, and that from Brahmanas many Kshatriyas have been born. The Lord Himself says in the Bhagavad Gita 4.13, Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah. According to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. Therefore, regardless of the family in which one takes birth, when one is qualified with the symptoms of a particular section, he is to be described accordingly. Yal lakshanam proktam, one's place in the Varna divisions of society is determined according to one's symptoms or qualities. This is maintained everywhere in the Shastra. Birth is a secondary consideration. The first consideration is one's qualities and activities. Shri Badarayani Ruvacha, Bhagavatam of Shukadeva Goswami, as the son of Vyasdev, who meditated or had his ashram among Badri trees, and that's why there is Badrik ashram. The son of someone who meditated among the Badri trees is Badarayani. After discussing this interesting episode of King Yayati, which we saw in the previous weeks, he is beginning a new discussion on another great king, Puru. Shukadeva Goswami hopes that, among other things, Parikshit Maharaj would find this thing particularly interesting, because he says, you yourself appeared in this dynasty. Your birth is equally glorious. So he says, O Maharaj Parikshit, descendant of Maharaj Bharat, I shall now describe the dynasty of Puru in which you were born, in which many saintly kings appeared, and from which many dynasties of Brahmanas began. So this is an interesting consideration, that from the dynasties of kings, many Brahmanas appeared. And Prabhupada in the purport says, Brahmanas have come from Kshatriyas, and Kshatriyas have come from Brahmanas. The Lord Himself says, Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam. This understanding of dividing society into varnas and ashramas is not a new concept. It is not an artificial concept. In the Gita, the Lord Himself assures, Maya system, I have made it. even if we reasonably assume that Krishna doesn't do anything illogically, Krishna doesn't do anything without a particular reason, and especially this material world, it's very important to understand what is the reason, what is the rationale behind creating a material world. One thing which Srila Prabhupada always emphasized is that in the spiritual world there is agreement. Agreement on everything. We find this a little bit artificial. Like if there are four people in a team, and if one person, his temperament, his mood is always to overpower others, and three of them just shut up whenever he speaks, and after that he claims that everybody agrees with me, that's artificial. One business leader is on record saying that in my company, everything goes in teamwork. Everything happens by teamwork. I always appoint committees. So committees are a pool of talented people, very senior managers. So I give them 2 hours to discuss a particular problem. They discuss it thoroughly. They make a nice, succinct, concise report. And then I tell them what to do. Which means, I just give you the satisfaction of sitting together and discussing and getting this illusory feeling that my opinions are valuable. I also count. I am somebody. If you ask people, why don't you actually listen to them? There won't be any shortage of people who would say that. But I know better than them. Their collective intellect is still lesser than my own. So what to do? Plus it saves time. You ask someone, what are you supposed to do? And if a committee takes 2 days, better that I take a decision in 15 minutes. It saves time. Things get done very fast. Now, the world has seen many such kind of high velocity, high voltage achievers who have achieved quite a bit. But then, at a crucial moment, their intellectual capacity, their ability to take a fast decision invariably makes them take a wrong decision. And then their ego comes in between and then they can't back off. And everybody goes in ruin. So we have seen people behaving like that. And our immediate worry is, what if in the spiritual world Krishna is like the, in Bombay's language, is the biggest dada. He just does dadagiri instead of becoming, playing God. We fear that. That's a basic human instinct. So just imagine Srila Prabhupada's his challenge in making this concept popular that Krishna is God, the supreme personality of Godhead, and you and me and all jivas are supposed to serve Krishna. Supposed to serve Krishna in loving devotional service. Means it's still all right to that extent. Eternally supposed to serve Krishna with loving devotional service. And we may say, this is too much. Even if they're in husband and wife, after so many years of marriage, if you ask them, if you ask the husband, did you always serve your wife lovingly? First of all, did you always serve her? I said, well, sometimes I didn't. Did you always serve her with love? You may say, well, sometimes that sentiment was absent. So it's a fact that we do sometimes do things without that love. And therefore this fear, what if you go to the spiritual world and you stop loving Krishna? Or Krishna stops loving you? It is not unnatural that in today's times, even people who have been married for many years, one day just blurt out that, I don't seem to like you anymore. And the other partner says, same with me. So why live a lie? As if all the other times they always try to live in the truth. All right, so why do we live in a lie? And then comes separation this way, that way, or so Prabhupada would always try to make the spiritual atmosphere tangible while we are in this material world. The point I am trying to bring up through this kind of discussion is, unless we get a taste of what it means to love Krishna and serve Him, what it means to serve Krishna eternally, things won't click. We won't even make a desire to go there. We could at best settle for some compromise somewhere else. So therefore, this whole process of having a Krishna conscious society is not ultimately to tell you that you are a Brahmana or you are a Kshatriya, you are a Vaishya, you are a Shudra, you are lower than that. Is how can you use your natural tendencies to make the best use now and get a taste of spirituality, which is what we want. Just today morning, there was a lecture on the verses of Queen Kunti. Queen Kunti says, Muni Naam Amalatma Naam. These are the kind of people who can understand Krishna. Muni Naam, very, very clear in their mindset. And Amalatma Naam, here Atma can mean mind, senses, very pure. So first of all, it's no joke that somebody tries to understand Krishna. And Prabhupada himself in that lecture says, somebody, a government official, wrote a book on Krishna saying that Krishna is black and Shudras are called black. Therefore, Shudras are all supposed to be representing Krishna. And therefore, we should give them more importance or whatever. Krishna is black, therefore black means unknown, therefore Krishna cannot be known. So much speculation goes on, while no one tries to understand that what is the basic qualification to understand Krishna. And Queen Kunti humbly says, if these people cannot understand you properly, I am just a simple housewife. Katham pashyama istriya. I am just a woman. I am not supposed to be a philosopher. Rarely in human society we find women philosophers. Now that doesn't mean that philosophy is beyond them. We can use it both ways. It is not their domain to do philosophizing. But to take another view, women don't speculate so much. While men do. It's a question of your male and female ways of thinking. Nothing to do with the body. It's a way of thinking. Even a male can have a female type of thinking. So, the female type of thinking is to be subservient. The male type of thinking is to always try to use logic and dissect everything, and then only you understand, then go forward. So, in order to successfully live as a Krishna conscious community, our major priority has to be, are we able to give the taste of spiritual life as it is there? And we have certain statements of Prabhupada where he says that Vaikuntha can be established on this earth. How? That is our challenge. So the first step in uniting society, Prabhupada says, is to divide it. We may say, oh. As such, there are so many things which divide society. And you are saying now, again divide society on something which you have brought from these pages. Why? The age that we are particularly living in and the kind of political atmosphere that we are experiencing, this is the biggest challenge. Why? Because politicians or business leaders, or in Prabhupada's words, plain misleaders, those who want to do for their own sense gratification, those who want to have their own selfish interests, they have convinced the masses that you have to be united, and that's the only way you can progress. The hypocrisy is so evident, like few of you must be aware, just a few months ago, the government of India took a census just to find out how many people live in India. Now they want all Indians to behave like Indians, to do something for the country. But then there was a small clause in that census form as to what is your community and what are the branches of communities where you belong to. Jati, upajati and all that. Now if you don't want people to fight on these grounds, why make matters worse by asking them? Like for example, in an ashram setup, the kitchen department doesn't go out handing forms, what would you like for breakfast tomorrow? Some may like it, but just the fact that you get swamped by so many requests. Somebody might say, I'm fasting tomorrow, so don't cook anything. Now if every individual's request were to be entertained, you can't have a functioning department. So they say, all right, we could understand that 6-7 items are like in order of priority quite acceptable to everybody. So in the 7 days of the week, we'll have one. So your choice will fall on some other day. But just because everybody is united for a higher cause, these kind of things get suppressed. Similarly, in the army, if the main leader, he sort of asks the soldiers, oh, what should we do? Should we fight, retreat? He could get as many opinions as there are people. So therefore, things don't work like that. Similarly, what is my particular way of functioning? What actually I like? There is so much of confusion, but especially when people come and exploit these things for political reasons, everything becomes topsy-turvy. So now, Srila Prabhupada would, if he had wanted, done something in the political sphere. He did once. There was a political party floated by ISKCON, quite a long name, the In God We Trust Political Party of Honest Politicians, something like that. And one devotee is an attorney, I think Amarendra Prabhu, Balavanta Prabhu, yeah, he was here a few years ago. Balavanta Prabhu is also a trained attorney, legally trained person. Prabhupada said, we are offering him as a next presidential candidate. And for most ISKCON devotees, it was was it a joke or is Prabhupada really ambitious? Now the thing is, what Prabhupada has given in the Bhagavatam could be a joke if we feel that it is not to be taken seriously. Or we may feel it's too ambitious. A Krishna conscious person becoming a president of a country? Oh. At the most, we can have a small temple in some corner of a city, have some festivals, you know, with as much as less noise so that people outside don't get disturbed. Now the thing is, this is all right from one point of view, that we don't want to disturb outside society. But what if the outside society is like a lunatic asylum? There is a management phrase where they say, the inmates have taken over the asylum. Like there are doctors, nurses, paramedics, and administrators, and they run the institution for the inmates. But when the inmates take over the asylum, it's a completely crazy thing. So Srila Prabhupada, he would intelligently, through the back-to-order articles or through the purports, he would first of all ask political people, is the situation under control? And they would say, as an aside, I don't really know what's happening. So if you don't know what's happening, why don't you take help? Like if one person is, like if I am having a health problem and I don't know what's happening, I'm not to be blamed for it. Just because it's my body doesn't mean I know every inch of it. So I go to a doctor. He takes, say, so many tests. And then I ask him, so what's the diagnosis? He says, I don't know. So that's a worrisome thing. If he also says, I don't know what's happening with you, either you say that, then why don't you say it before that you can't understand anything? Another problem with this world today. Prabhupada says, even if they know they don't have a solution, they don't come to the proper authority. And it's Kali Yuga. Even if somebody goes to find a spiritual solution, he gets cheated. I mean, just see what a royal mess this whole thing is. Number one, people don't know what to do. Number two, they think somebody else can have a solution. They endeavor to go there and they get cheated. That's why at one point of time, Srila Prabhupada just had to fold his hands and tell his disciples, I have not come to cheat you. Please be assured of this, that I haven't come to cheat you. So, it's a simple purport, but the ideas are so deep. Brahmanas coming from Kshatriyas, Kshatriyas coming from Brahmanas, what does it mean? I just made a small list of historical events where this thing has happened. King Nimi, he had many sons. Some became Brahmanas, some became Vaishyas, some became Paramhamsas, those nine Yogendras. They were beyond that. Rishabdev, some of his sons became this, some of this became that. Parshuram, the son of a Brahmana, but became a Kshatriya. Why? At that time, there was a particular need for it. Even Ravana, we can say, is born of a Brahmana. He belongs to the Pulastya sages lineage. Of course, he didn't become just a Kshatriya, he became a demon. So the danger with Kshatriyas, without proper culture, without proper guidance, they may outright become criminals. A simple Kshatriya is not a criminal. Drona and Kripa, they took the form, they took the role of teachers, and they actually fought in the battlefield when they actually were Brahmanas. It is commented by Gaudiya Acharyas, mostly by Valdebi Dabhushan, I suppose, that even this is a fault in Dronacharya, because he thought, I am indebted to Duryodhan for giving me this job. Therefore, I should fight on his behalf. A Brahmana is not supposed to take this kind of a consideration. He just gives knowledge. How this affects us? There are so many devotees who are trying to establish Varnashram, and that's one thing which Prabhupada said is the next challenge. 50% of Prabhupada's job was writing books, printing them, seeing that they are distributed, establishing temples, instituting festivals, having some kind of Krishna conscious community life. The next 50% is a bigger challenge in one sense, because Prabhupada's personal guidance is no longer available. I was reading a letter where the African continent was opening up. Some devotees were going to Nairobi, Mombasa, South Africa. South Africa was a different consideration, but Kenya itself was like a tough challenge. Very interesting things happened there. When Prabhupada went to preach, he arrived in the night. Next day morning, Prabhupada's clothes were gone. So Prabhupada said, strange. So he took a new set. He started giving class, and he found one brahmachari had his uttariya, one had his kurta. They had no understanding that one cannot use a spiritual master's clothes just like that. They just found him nice clothes. Then they served Prabhupada some food. Prabhupada said, this is horrible. This is dog food. So they said, well, you know, some chickpeas, a little bit dry or whatever. For lunch, they brought something else, which was much worse. Prabhupada said, this is pig food. And like one mistake after another, but Prabhupada said, actually, they are sincere. They are trying to do it, but what can they do? No training. So then he approved a big BBT loan for buying vehicles, for giving free books. You try to distribute the books among the members or whatever, but these books are given to you as a grant. Now just imagine, it is so easy when Prabhupada himself would administer these kind of things, give them this, give them that. Now, with no physical understanding of whether Prabhupada would approve a grant or a loan, how do we do things? Now we have rules and regulations and okay, Prabhu, your temple will get 100 rupees for 3 months at 9.5% interest. Now all these kinds of rules and regulations come. So people feel, oh, when Prabhupada was there was so much love and trust. And now that Prabhupada is not there, physically at least, where did that love and trust go? But Prabhupada said, your love for me would be shown by how you cooperate together. There are enough people who operate separately, but few who can learn to cooperate together. And in this cooperation, it is to be together, sometimes efficiency has to be sacrificed. Sometimes, for a higher cause. Unless that higher cause is established, there is no cooperation. So how do we understand what is Varnashram? Like here it is said, anybody can be a Brahmana, anybody can be a Kshatriya, anybody can be a Vaishya. People don't like to be called Shudras. In fact, they are like the best assistants. If somebody is an assistant to Sachin Tendulkar, how he'll walk? Oh, he'll walk tall. Is it not? If you say, how many centuries have you hit? He says, that's not the issue. But you know something? When he comes after a heavy, heavy workout, it's only me and him in that room. And I get to massage his feet. You know that? Although he's an assistant, because his master is glorious, he gets some glory in it. Today, there is no glory in assisting someone. Everyone wants to be the one who should be served. Obviously, this world is a royal mess. So, by not emphasizing, in fact, in some places, Prabhupada de-emphasizes the need for understanding who is a Brahmana, who is a Kshatriya. He says, just chant Hare Krishna, follow the process. Slowly and slowly you will understand what exactly is your role. One devotee was making those dioramas made from grass and clay dioramas. So he told Prabhupada, should I train my son up in this field so that he also becomes a trained diorama maker? Prabhupada said, look, tomorrow you may be called to do puja. I don't want you to be just a potter, just working with clay. Evening you are doing pottery, next morning you are doing puja, deity worship, then you are distributing books on the street. Does it make you, evening I am a Shudra, morning I am a Brahmana, afternoon I am a Vaishya? No. My understanding is, I am a servant of the servant of the servant of Lord Krishna. For that particular service, I can choose any option. By doing this, a Brahmana still has his ego. I am a Brahmana. A Kshatriya still has his ego. A Shudra also has his ego. Like a assistant to a very famous person, we still have this understanding, I am an assistant. But only a Vaishnava doesn't have that kind of identification. He will choose anything, any service, which leads me to the understanding that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. I am happy to accept it. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he disregarded the benefits coming out of understanding oneself to be a Brahmana or a Vaishya. Naham vipra na cha narapatir napi vaishyo na shudro. Naham varni na cha grihapatir no vanastho yatirva. Kintu prodhya nikhila paramananda purnamrita abdher gopi bhartu padakamalayor das das anudas. I don't want the benefits of becoming a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Nor I am a Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi. I am just a servant of the servant of the servant. So in one sense, Srila Prabhupada solved the major problem first of what is our asmita, what is our ego, that you are a servant of Krishna. Then he started to solve the secondary issue, how do I live within a community of devotees? You may say, well, why did he do that? Number one, Prabhupada didn't have much time. So many of his classes he would say, I may leave any time. I want to see that this movement is established on a firm foundation. So now, as we go out and distribute this knowledge, what should we do? Should we tell somebody that before coming to the Sunday feast regularly, here is a small 156 question questionnaire. Kindly fill this up. Then we will admit you to your community because we'll know what exactly you are. What do you think people of South Bombay will say? Do they thank you? As such, there is no demand for your product. In business language, there is no demand for Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, there is tremendous need for Krishna consciousness. So either we profusely chant in the streets and loosen up the atmosphere a little bit, distribute Krishna prasad so much, soften the atmosphere a little bit, distribute books, soften the atmosphere a little bit. Prabhupada would say that if there are people who are having intelligence to understand, let them understand the message. He said to understand this message, you need a cool head. A rare thing nowadays, but that's the only thing required. Just some simple application of common sense. There is a verse here, part of a verse. This is by Narad Muni. I think in the 7th canto, yal lakshanam proktam, You decide who is what by just the symptoms. I remember many years ago when we used to make sandesh, from milk you have to make paneer. And there was always this perennial confusion whether this jar contains sugar or nimbu phool, citrus powder. At least sometimes it was not so lighted in the small kitchen next to the DT room many years ago. Now, time is short, what do you do? At least many times you just take one grain, put it on your tongue. This is sugar. If you add sugar to milk, you won't get paneer. And if you add citrus grains to sweet rice, you'll get something else. So you need to know exactly what is what, and you know by the symptoms. Similarly, through life situations, it's very easy to understand who we are. But the society should support it. Prabhupada emphasized that ISKCON is a society of brahmanas, or at least we are going to train people as brahmanas. So we have people who are intellectuals, who are applying their brains. Now what if somebody comes and says, I don't read the book so much, I'm not so much of a book reader. Does he have any hope? Or he say, no, you have to. I was reading a letter. Prabhupada is guiding a disciple. He's saying, I'm going to preach in South India. And in South India, you need to rattle so many verses. Otherwise, people don't accept you as the religious preacher. So Prabhupada said, 5 verses a day for only 6 days and 30 key verses of the Gita will make you a first-class preacher. Somebody said, I am going to preach and there are many Shaivites, what do I do? So Prabhupada said, humbly ask him, do you accept the Bhagavad Gita? He may say, oh, Gita, yes. You accept all the verses of the Bhagavad Gita? So, dear sir, I can point you to some verse here which says that those who worship other demigods are maddened by lusty desires for enjoyment. And that's it. You don't need to tell him that you are an idiot or you are a lusty person. They feel angry. Let the book do the job. So many times, like Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj was once telling, in Bengal especially, because of communist influence and so many other things, there's not much of awareness. Plus there are so many bogus people who have, their images are like burnt in the minds of people. So some people, some devotees would go and with hammer and tongs try to beat these people down. Most of them are dead and gone, but they are still alive in the minds of people. He said, what I did was made simple Bhagavad Gita lessons in a huge number of quantities, made people accept this Gita course. And then ask them questionnaire. And ask them, what does the Gita say about those who worship demigods? Hint, read chapter 9. Now it is, you might say, obvious, it's obvious. But they read that chapter and they say, well, we accept Krishna's word as the final thing. And he says those who worship demigods are less intelligent. Maybe. So Krishna, when he does things, he removes the sting. But he also gives you that cooling effect. You and me, if we do that, we might make the person angry. So therefore, more than understanding our symptoms, I'll conclude here, is this division is a part of human society. We cannot avoid it. As much as, would you like your 5 fingers to be the same size? Just imagine all thumbs. It may look horrible, or all index fingers, whatever. Somehow, these 5 make sense. Is it not? Now, this is not a spiritual topic I'm discussing, but show each finger individually and you will get individual effects. there is a very proper use of each individual digit of your hand. No substitutions allowed. No substitutions allowed. Now, who made this? Is it artificial? No, it seems to be natural. That's the part that everybody is important, everybody is valued, everybody is valid. We just need, they shouldn't have their egos involved. It shouldn't be that unless I get to do that person's job, my life is imperfect. That's the failure. The Brahmanas used to crown kings, even in the West, even in Egypt, even in India. After some time, you feel, I mean, it's so tempting. How does it feel to be the king yourself? Not in an exact historical way, but trying to manipulate them. The whole Bhagavatam began with one Brahmana misusing his powers of cursing. So people find that Brahmanas, we can't put faith in them. Without their guidance, Kshatriyas become berserk. Completely gone amok without any control. They still took the same money from the Vaishyas. So the Vaishyas said, oh, you still take money from us and then you boss over us? They finished them off. With Brahmanas gone, Kshatriyas gone, Vaishyas gone, one day the masses took over. The communism experiment lasted 70 years only. Miserable failure. Prabhupada went to Moscow, one look at the city and he said, people are not happy here. Very strange. The next day, Prabhupada was shown the military parade roads. Huge roads, not just 4-lane. 16-lane roads, especially built for the tanks and the missile carriers. Prabhupada said, any government which needs to show off its weaponry just to keep people in check is very insecure inside. Now we thought, whoa, so much power they had. What Prabhupada could see through it, this won't last long. So all four have finished their right to rule. What do we have now? We have complete anarchy. Nobody gives a damn whether you are this or this or this or that. Money rules. Whoever has money, that's it. And that's why it's a dangerous position. Very precarious. And that's why this message is all the more relevant and more important, that it should go into the right people. And for that, Mahaprabhu's basic thing is, unless we consider ourselves the servant of the servant of the servant, we cannot preach this philosophy. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare.